You are in for a treat with this show. Tim Spiker is an amazing guest. We had so much fun that at the end of the interview, he said, let's flip roles and let me interview you. So let's listen to our brief interview with myself and Tim, and then we're off to the rest of the show. Thank you for listening.
You decide that who you are needs to be a bigger part of your leadership. And you even express that publicly to the company. And your manager says, there wasn't enough how in there. Now, we know that the how needs to happen. But again, we've been talking about this relationship between who and how that leads into the things that we do. So you decide, okay, this needs to be a bigger part of my story. So my question is simply, over the next year, what happened? You said you were the fat of four. We fast forward a year later. What happened to the division that you were leading from a performance standpoint?
Well, that's a great question. But at the end of the day, we moved from the fourth position up to the second position out of four regions. We realized approximately a 30% improvement in the number of food safety and customer quality complaints, to the point where people were actually checking the books to see that we weren't cooking them in any way. And customers were actually starting to want to partner with us rather than complaining about us. So the dynamic, the relationship with the customers, the brand loyalty, and a 30% improvement about how we were performing with the right people in the right roles and me supporting them and helping them to be the best they can and achieve the impact. That's what we did.
Yeah. And so what that underscores is not, I can understand why somebody would say, well, tell me how. I'm not suggesting that the how of leadership is unimportant. What I am saying is when we involve a fully developed who, when I show up more inwardly sound and others focused, it has an impact on the how. It helps inform that. Again, we get the right people in the room making the best decisions because things like insecurity and ego are out the door. And now we bring greater levels of curiosity and even empathetic connection with people. Ultimately, that does produce a how. It does produce a plan that then gets executed. We talk about execution matters, but what is driving the execution? And your story in the course of going from, okay, I'm going to make this presentation and I'm going to make the who of my leadership more profoundly involved. We're going to go from number four to number two, and we're going to increase our performance by 30%. And I think that's just such an important part of this story that it actually leads to results.
Welcome to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I'm Deb Coviello, and as the Drop-In CEO, I drop into businesses and assume the CEO role to enhance the human element and increase the results they achieve. This podcast is about bringing you conversations with expert guests who have achieved their greatest results built on a strong foundation of purpose, values, and elevating people. If you're a business leader, entrepreneur, or even just getting started in business, join us as we build the skills you need to achieve your goals.
Hello, I am Deb Coviello, founder of Illumination Partners, and I want to thank you for joining me on another episode of the Drop-In CEO podcast, where I speak to amazing leaders and get to share their insights with you. If you like this episode, please subscribe so we can continue to bring you great programming. And I would also like to make you this offer. I am the CEO's guide to elevate their business and their team through rapid change and ultimately bring you peace of mind. For more information about my consulting services or human-centric leadership certification, please contact me at dropinceo.com and let's continue the conversation. And now I am so honored to share the mic with my guest, Tim Spiker. Tim is the founder of the Aperio and the Who, Not What principle, a profound research-based truth that has powered 15 years of leadership development success. Tim's book, The Only Leaders Worth Following, reveals that 77% of leadership effectiveness comes from who a leader is and not what they do. It is my pleasure, Tim, to welcome you to the show.
Deb, thanks a lot. Really excited to visit with you and your audience.
Tim, you know, I really wanted to bring you onto the show after reading your book. And again, it was amazing. There were so many great insights that resonated with myself, and I know they will with our listeners. It's so important for us to talk about who we are as individuals and our leadership, not necessarily about our accomplishments. So, Tim, take it away. Tell us about yourself and the work that you do.
You know, I was getting ready to start grad school, and I was invited by a fellow server at the restaurant where I was working to an open house for a marketing company. And I thought, well, I'm going to be studying marketing in graduate school. And I was at a time in life when if there was a free meal available, I was probably going to be there. So I said, yes. And I went. And what I discovered about 2 minutes into the presentation, I discovered the reality of what an open house for a marketing company is. So for your listeners, if you ever hear that terminology, here's what I think is about to happen to you. You are about to enter a recruiting meeting for a multi-level marketing pyramid company, open house for a marketing company. Now, I have nothing against those organizations, but I did not have any interest in selling water purifiers to my family and friends, which is what they wanted me to do. But the reason why any of this matters is I had taken a seat in the middle of the room that night, and I couldn't really escape without making a scene. And I didn't want to make a scene, so I was kind of waiting for the break so I could grab my sandwich and get out of there. But before that happened, they started talking about what does it mean to be an employee. And at that point, this dark cloud of doom and gloom, you know, there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. It was awful. And I just sat there and I thought, well, it doesn't have to be that way. I mean, how come when somebody says, what is it like to work for so-and-so? How come the answer wouldn't be, it's the greatest blessing of my life. I'm growing by leaps and bounds. It's even fulfilling to my family that I'm following this person. Why couldn't that be the answer? And that night launched me into an investigation of leadership. That was 20 years ago that happened, and I've been studying leadership ever since then.
So amazing. Now, we talked before we jumped on here and all the technical issues we had, but listen, the name of your company, the Aperio.
Yeah.
Tell me more about the origin of the name.
Yeah. It's Latin for the reveal. The work that our company primarily does is help reveal hidden truths about leadership so that people can go and apply them in how they're developing themselves, how they're developing the leaders in their organizations, and even how they're choosing the leaders to follow. So the Aperio is Latin for the reveal, to lay bare or to uncover.
All right. Amazing. So I just want to jump right into this. So the concept, the basis for all the work that you're doing, I think if anybody just cuts out after 5 or 10 minutes of this interview, we're going to cut to the chase.
Great.
Here. What is the who, not what principle, and how was it discovered or evolved?
Well, I was working for a consulting firm, and we were taking leaders up to the west side of Pikes Peak for about a week at a time. And we would put them through a series of leadership experiences. And a part of that were a number of assessments that they would take. They would take a personality assessment, a natural abilities assessment, and they had previously engaged in a leadership 360. And we had all of the results of those. And they started to ask us, what's the magic mix? Like, is there a particular personality type plus natural abilities that gives somebody a better chance of becoming an effective leader? And my colleague, Vanessa Kiley, she's the numbers person. So she was able to take all of our data and run it through the SPSS software to look for correlations between personality style, natural ability, and leadership performance. And I remember the night that she got the results in. So I went into her office and said, you know, tell me what you found. And she said nothing, because she hadn't found any correlations. There were no correlations between personality, natural ability, and leadership performance. And so I went to leave her office and I said, well, great. I mean, at least we have an answer when people ask us, what's the magic mix? There is no magic mix. But then she said, but we did find something. We found something that we weren't looking for. We found it in a place where we weren't looking for it. So I turned around and came back in and said, well, what is it? On our 360, we had 8 different areas of leadership that we were measuring. And the great thing about statistical software is it will look for correlations in places where you're not looking. And as she was doing the analysis, it revealed that just 2 of those 8 areas of leadership were driving just under 70% of the variability on the whole assessment. And if you just think about it as a pizza that's split up into 8 wedges, any 2 should only be worth 25%. And it was just under 70%. A few years later, when she had 10 times the data points, Vanessa reran the calculation and it went up to 77%. And so that was the moment where it took us a little while. Maybe we didn't know exactly what we were looking at. But 3 years later, I had left the firm. I was working at another company. I was sitting in my office one day, not doing what I was supposed to be doing. I was pondering leadership instead of working on whatever report I was supposed to be working on. And it just kind of landed on me like a ton of bricks as I looked at those eight aspects of leadership. That kind of resounding middle C sounded off. And I realized that those two areas that were accounting for 77% of the variability, those two were about who you are as a human being. And the rest, the other six, were about what you do. And then that's when the whole idea just like, oh, that's it. To round it a little bit, 3/4 of our effectiveness as leaders comes from who we are, not what we do. And that's how that principle was born.
And this is exactly why I bring people on like you on the show, because I have to just share a quick story. Yeah. I mean, this is all about you and your book, and I'm so excited to share more. But before I left corporate, I was in a corporate role. My region was not doing well. And I share this story with others. And the expectation when we met globally was to present what were we going to do in the following year to reach the objectives. And we were in 4th place out of 4 regions. And so we were not doing very well. My leadership was being challenged. And so I went to a place of reflection. I was actually writing my presentation a day before I had to do it. And when I was done, I started from a place of who was I as a leader? And why was I leading? And bringing together the aspects of my family, all I want to do is spend more time with my family, not work so hard. And how would I become a better leader? And then only at the end of the presentation, I said, and here's what we're going to do. And at the end of the day, it was met with mixed messages. My leader that I supported didn't like it. He said, you didn't spend enough time on what you were going to do. But the silent followers came to me later on and said, we need more leaders like you. We like your message about who and why, and we need different thinkers. Mm. So that's why we had you on here. Let's keep going. I want to hear more about this.
Thank you for sharing that story. I think one of the things that I encounter on a regular basis is the kind of, well, yeah. I mean, I was with a group one time. We were starting in a session. And I could tell the person did not want to be offensive, but he didn't know quite how to say. We were just starting to talk about what the research said and what the book said. And he said, Tim, well, duh, he didn't want to offend me. And I take no offense at that because I feel like what my job is, I'm not inventing anything here. I'm like a reporter. I'm like saying, hey, folks, this has always been going on. And it's the leadership equivalent of gravity. Like it has always been here. It's been affecting us all along. We just didn't have a name for it and we didn't have a construct to address it. And so when people say, well, this lines up with all of my experiences, this lines up with common sense of course, this is it. I don't take any offense because I'm not trying to be the guy who's inventing something. I'm trying to help us all see something that already is a little more clearly so we can do something about it.
So how did we get to such a place of complexity and didn't realize this? Instead, we're giving people a playbook that says this is what you need to do to become a leader versus the obvious that all of us no.
I think there are a few things. I think that there's kind of an attractiveness to the things of strategy. And let me say this. I'm saying 3/4 of leadership. I'm not saying 100% of leadership. Things like strategy and motivation, things like the execution piece of getting things done, how do you develop the talent in the organization, all those things are important. So I'm not suggesting somebody sometimes will say, so the what doesn't matter. No, the what matters. What we have to understand is how the what of leadership is impacted by the who of leadership. And the analogy that we use is that of a tree. And who, of course, is the roots below the surface that you don't see. We don't drive past a big, beautiful tree and go, wow, those must be great roots. Like we don't do that, but that's what's going on. There is a great root system that is fueling that big, beautiful bearing tree that we see when we drive past it. It's the same way with leadership. And so it's not a matter that you know, that the trunk and the branches and the leaves and the fruit, or in the leadership space, it's not that motivation and execution, the allocation of resources, vision, the development of culture. It's not that that stuff doesn't matter. It's that that stuff is much more effective, much more even efficient when it's being fueled and funded by a well-developed who behind it. And so I think we got here in part because those other aspects of leadership, strategy, et cetera, they're kind of sexy. They're very enticing. They draw us to them. Also, they're way easier to address than looking at myself in the mirror and saying, how do I need to develop as a human being? How do I need to become a more mature person so that my leadership is more effective? And so I think that's probably another reason why we don't dig into this as often as would be beneficial, because it's a little scary. It's definitely personal and it can be really challenging.
I'm curious, in the work that you have done with clients, and you've got so many years, when you move people from a place of what to a place of who, has anybody struggled with that concept but then was able to break through and either was sad or euphoric for making that breakthrough? Because I think it's so emotional what you're talking about. I'm wondering.
It can be. It depends a little bit on the individual. Usually it's more of a confirmation of that sneaking suspicion they had all along. But once in a while, you'll run into somebody who has spent their career. I'm thinking of a particular senior executive in a multinational leading in the HR role who said, I've spent my whole career helping people develop what? And as we sat and talked, he was very impressive, because he could say that on the one hand, but he was still open. He didn't let the way that he had invested his career stop him from being open to investigating the possibility of this. And then what happened is we invited him into the actual work. It wasn't develop who everybody else is. It was, we're going to work on helping you develop yourself. We're going to dig into these two big buckets that I mentioned earlier. We're going to dig into those. We're going to help you make progress. And so it won't be some out there in the world story. Let's take a look at your own story as a leader. And I think what ultimately happened for him, and again, all credit to him to being open, is as he found the needle moving for him personally as a leader, the reality of the connection between those things, the how significantly important who is, the lights came on a little brighter. And what he was able to do, he was then able to lean into it and really say, I just have to keep this in mind from here on out. Thankfully, we didn't have to spend like lamenting the last 30 years. It was a new learning, even though it was a familiar idea in a sense, but it was new because now it had words and now it had some structure. And so then we just look forward. We just look forward. And I've had a similar experience with some others. So basically people will encounter the who, not what principle. And for some people, the first thought is, no way. That can't be right. And I take no offense to that. Again, I'm a reporter here. I'm saying, here's what the research says. I'm not going to argue with you, but let's take a look at it. And I've had PhDs who said, no way at the beginning, go dig into their own story and start to work on who they are. And within 6 months, they're like, oh my goodness, this is true. This is real. We've got to take this into account. So it's the classic story where sometimes your most hesitant participants, your biggest detractors, become the greatest promoters of what that data says, because they didn't come into it saying, oh yeah, sure, absolutely, this is true. They came into it skeptically, but open. Skeptical, but open. I'm an engineer by education. So I love skeptical but open.
Yeah, I'm an engineer too. So data geeks,
yes.
You speak to my heart with the data. But you know, at some point we have to use our minds a little bit and be open to the possibility, yeah. Even if it doesn't make sense in the moment. And that's your 6-second principle. If you get something that triggers you or gets you that offends you, pause and think for 6 seconds before you react. You never know. There might be some insight into this new information. Yeah. You know, I just want to share a quick story. You know, when I work with people, I mentor people, I work with people on my human-centric my course. And, you know, I talk about you've got to work on yourself first. So the first two chapters are understanding your strengths, your weaknesses, limiting beliefs, mindset, etc. But I think the work that you do is actually something I'm going to take forward in my work. It's more about the who. And it's so much deeper than simply your talents. And I do talk a little bit about your passions, like what really drives you. And to kind of segue into myself, because I've got to share more stories about myself. I'm an engineer. I'm a problem solver. I've led organizations. We're good at it. We're high performers. And then someday it's like, wait a second, what about me? And when I moved into my own business and I started thinking, what do I really love to do? I just love to create. I used to do arts and crafts. I used to be on a radio program when I was a child, just creating content, lifting, elevating, helping, entertaining people. That's is like who I am. I talk to my husband. You can't shut me up. So back to you, Tim.
Yeah.
You know, what I'd love to do is just go a little bit deeper into the who, not what principle. And you talk about where you take those eight characteristics, and they are really then separated into two major categories, inwardly sound and others focused. Could you unpack that a little bit for us?
Sure. So there's a number of things that we could get into in terms of a bulleted list of what makes an inwardly sound person. And if I were to reel off that list right now, nobody would remember it. So let's talk about it as a general concept. And for that, I want to invite us all to think about a boat. I want you to think about a sound. You know, when I say, what's a sound vessel? Well, you know, if you're going to get on that boat and it's going to be safe and secure, what are the characteristics? Well, that hull, the structure itself, it's got to have some integrity to it. It's got to have some strength to it. It's got to be able to get hit by waves and weather and not crumble. There's a stability to it that says, hey, we can count on this. We know what we're getting, and it's not flimsy. It's not going to be blown about all over the place. We'll just take that description of a sound vessel and now think of a sound human being. And it's nearly the identical description. Not easily riled up, not thrown off course emotionally at the smallest or even the biggest of things. Think about those people in our lives that have been a port in the storm. Folks who have been able to create some sense of calm, stability, because they have such a mastery of themselves. They deal with their own emotions. Not that they don't have emotions, they have them, but they deal with them in a very mature way. And so they are people that we can count on no matter the challenges that are coming at us. That is an inwardly sound leader.
And the others focused?
Yeah, others focused is a little bit ironic compared to inwardly sound. Because an inwardly sound, there's a lot of work that goes into becoming that sound, mature person. There's a lot of understanding of oneself and growing in a lot of self-management. And yet, if we continue the story of self only, then we're going to be missing out on something that people also really need from their leaders, which is somebody who's in it for them. And so the others focused concept is not only am I kind of a mature and stable person, but then on top of that, I am here for others. It's not all about me. It's not about my ego, my career, my bank account. It's about you. It's about the people I'm leading. It's how do I help you reach your potential? Knowing that that ultimately is going to be what benefits the organizations and the shareholders. And so I show up at work every day, not for how to take care of my own desires and wants, but I am here for you, the people that I'm leading. I'm others focused.
That's beautiful. I love this. That's why I'm so fortunate to have found you, be part of my inner circle here, because that's a little bit of the work that I do when I work with my consulting clients. I am inwardly sound in that they're going through a crisis or a major change. They've got a million things that they're working on, but I come in and I understand and I listen and I present calm amidst chaos. But then while I'm there and we solve the particular problem, then there are the people. There are so many people there that need help also in lifting and developing their leadership style. So while I serve the business owner, I also am in there to elevate the people. So beautiful. I love this work.
Well, the great thing about this, I would say, as a follow-up to that, is that these are the things that drive performance. Like it could be just like, oh, isn't that a nice story? No, actually, it's not just a nice story. because there's a relationship between these things we're talking about. So in our world, we talk about the arc of leadership, and just imagine an exponential arc that goes from left to right, kind of a classic up and to the right. Because when leaders show up inwardly sound and others focused, they are more trustworthy. When leaders are more trustworthy, and this is the thing I think that doesn't get talked about enough, when leaders are more trustworthy, that drives greater engagement from the people they're leading. And there are over 300 studies worldwide that show the connection between engagement and performance. So in the end, if somebody wants to dismiss this whole thing as kind of a, oh, that sounds nice. I mean, wouldn't it be great if the world was that way? Or even better, hey, once you have the results, this would be a great thing to consider. No, this is the foundation that precedes the results. This is the thing that leads to the performance. And occasionally I run into people who have a really hard time getting there because they want to check all the performance boxes and then come back to the who stuff as like the cherry on top. And that's a complete misunderstanding of what the data says. The data says 3/4 of that performance that you're after is a function of how well-developed you are as a human being. So we need to start there. We need to look there first. But in the end, it's not just a feel-good story at all. It's a story about performance and retention of talent and competitiveness in the marketplace. When we look at engagement scores worldwide, and they're in that neighborhood of 20% of people who are fully engaged in their work, if you say, how do we get a competitive advantage in the marketplace? What if half of your people, what if half of your people were fully engaged in their work? What if they were 150% more engaged than the average worker across the globe? Would that create a competitive advantage for you? You can be sure that it would. And so in the end, what sometimes sounds like a story is much more than that. It's really a driver of great performance and results.
So I have a question for you, and we're going to bring this to a close in a bit, but we could talk for quite a long time here. So I will be asking you for some tips for the person that's maybe an emerging leader or maybe a leader that's stuck what they can do. But I'm curious, what does the person who is an inwardly sound person and others focused as well, but they're not getting the desired results, what else could they do? Or should they maybe leave the organization because they're not aligned with an organization that has the same values?
Well, ultimately, if you have a situation like that where somebody is ultra well-developed in those two arenas, then we need to take a look at the what of leadership. We need to look at, is the vision, is the cultural drive accurate? What is the strategy here, ultimately? Because it is possible to have a strategy that isn't the best. Now, it's unlikely because here's what happens. The humble, curious leader who's inwardly secure, getting back to the who stuff, they tend to have the right people in the room to make those strategic decisions. They're not putting locks on the door saying, hey, you don't get to come in because I'm insecure because you're smarter than I am, so I'm not going to let you in. So they tend to have a much better shot at having the best strategy, but it doesn't guarantee it. And so once we look at those who things, if things are still not working out, certainly we still need to also consider motivation, development of talent, drive of the culture, vision, all of your more classic aspects of leadership that we normally talk about. That's the first thing that I would go to. Like, well, yeah, let's take a look at what still matters, but who is driving it. If we feel really good on the who side, then let's do an analysis on the what.
Amazing. So we're going to reel this in a little bit. This has been a fantastic conversation. But for the person that loved this interview, and maybe they'll also read the book, but if they could take away something today, whether they're an emerging leader or maybe a business leader, that's what are a couple things that they can do now to start moving them into being a leader worth following? The who, not the what.
Let me do two things here. One is a bit broader of a perspective, and the other one is a very tactical one foot in front of the other action. And hopefully we can cover the spectrum between those two things. Right. The first thing is hard, but incredibly necessary. And that is to have the courage to look in the mirror. None of us wants to look at the issue of being inwardly sound and others focused and find shortcomings. But if we're honest, almost all of us can look into those areas and find places where we're not as inwardly sound as we need to be. We're not as others focused. I mean, it's funny to me. I read a lot of different literature from all the popular places that everybody reads, HBR and the like. And it feels like there are things, if you look for this, you'll see writings that go in this direction, but they stop short. And here's where they stop short. They will only talk about skills. And they talk about everything separated from the very core of who we are. And I just kind of want to erase that and say, come on, guys, let's call a spade here. You don't want to use the word in this article about business, but you're talking about selfishness. You're talking about ego. Let's just be honest about this because, you know, I lead people through this work, but I promise you, I am working on it all the time. I could march any number of people in here right now who said, here are some of Tim's shortcomings. And we would, you know, God bless her, my wife would have the biggest list of things that I need to be working on in these areas. And she's right. She's not wrong. And so what we have to be willing to do, I think, is have the courage to look in the mirror and receive an honest answer back from it. And if we're open to that, now we've got a shot. Now we've got it. If you can do that, there's really almost a limitless possibility for you. So that's the broad perspective idea that I try to encourage people toward, no matter where they are in their leadership journey. The one foot in front of the other idea comes in. One of the aspects of being an others-focused leader that we talk about is being curious. What does it mean to be curious? And there's 100 articles about intellectual curiosity. And that's important. There are almost no articles about, hey, you also need to be curious about people, about their ideas, about their perspectives, even about their emotions. Those are all pieces of information to the puzzle. So when we talk about being curious, we talk about being curious, big picture, broad curious, not just fact curious. And the way we encourage people to develop unique ways of doing that, and we take them through a process where they can come up with their own ways. But one of the ways that I found to be most effective was actually shared with me by Dr. Mary Shippey. And so I always mention her here because she blessed my life by teaching me this phrase that I'm going to share. And I was basically, she was helping to develop me as a human being. Not that we've arrived, by the way, but she was working with me when she taught me this phrase, and I have just shared it and shared it and shared it and shared it because it changed my life. It's a very simple idea, but if somebody wanted to say, I want to take some steps to become others focused in the next 90 days, I've got a goal for it. Just keep track of this. 100 times in the next 90 days, use this phrase. Tell me more about that. Tell me more about that. Open the door for people to tell you a little bit more than what you already know. In my estimation, 95 to 98% of the time when I say to somebody, tell me more about that, I hear at least an edge of something that I didn't previously know or understand. It's not usually 180 degrees difference, but you know, those small degrees add up over time. And what happens for leaders when they regularly use a phrase like, tell me more about that, and are genuinely curious, not just kind of put it on the coat of curiosity, but when they do that, two things happen. They get better information for making decisions because they understand situations and circumstances more broadly. It also improves relationships because people are being heard. And when people are heard, now that future door of the flow of information gets kicked open even wider if I continue to be and live as a curious leader. And so to just bring that phrase, tell me more about that, to make it a regular part of not only your speech, but your thought process. I mean, it's got to be genuine, back down to the core of who you are. We're not faking anything here. But we can practice things that change us on the inside. Sometimes we have to put one foot in front of the other. Sometimes the belief comes first and then the action. There are other times I see with leaders that the action comes and then the belief comes when they see what happens. And it can work either way. So tell me more about that. Just a small little phrase. Again, thank you, Dr. Shippey, to help us be more curious. And then listen, watch what you learn after you thought the story was already done and you bring in that phrase. It will serve you as a leader. It'll serve the people you're leading. It'll make you a more effective leader. And it's part of being more others focused.
I will not forget that. Tell me more about that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Tim. People are absolutely going to want to reach out to you. Again, Tim, the author of The Only Leaders Worth Following. If people wanted to connect with you, learn more about your work, the book, how can they do that?
Well, the easiest way is you go to the, T-H-E, onlyleaders.com. And there you can find out more about our work. And we have a little offer for your listeners if you're open to it. There's a promo code there. If you go to theonlyleaders.com and the promo code is drop-in after your podcast. And if anybody's interested in going on one of these, what we call them journeys, we have leadership development journeys. We're starting a number of them in 2021. And if somebody's interested in being a part of that, if they enter that code drop-in on that website, then we will give them $500 off being a part of a journey for the year.
All right, absolutely amazing. And thank you so much for that. Great interview, Tim. You've been amazing. Thank you so much. I wish you continued success on the work that you're doing, the sale of the book, and I look forward to seeing what you're going to do next. So thank you so much.
Deb, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity.
All right, be well.
Thank you for listening to the Drop-In CEO podcast. I hope you are inspired by our conversation and can apply what you heard to your business or career goals. For more information about our consulting or coaching services, please visit my website at dropinceo.com or visit our Drop-In CEO Facebook group to continue the conversation. Now go out, lead, inspire, and achieve your goals.